Good morning, and thank you for standing by. I'd like to inform all participants that your lines have been placed on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's call. Today's call is also being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to Ms. Marion Hunter. Thank you. You may begin.
Good morning, and we apologize for the delay. Thank you for joining our call today. My name is Marion Hunter, and I'm a Public Relations Coordinator for the Virginia Department of Health Office of Communications. Today, we're joined by the Virginia Department of Health Deputy Commissioner for Population Health, Dr. Lori Furlano, DO, MPH, and State Epidemiologist, Dr. Lillian Peake, MD, MPH, along with the Virginia Department of Education Assistant Superintendent of Policy, Equity, and Communications, Holly Coy. Our subject matter experts will give an update on the new pandemic metric dashboard, followed by a question and answer session. Today's call is being moderated by an operator, so when we get to the Q&A portion of today's call, please follow their instructions to ask a question. Now I'd like to welcome Dr. Furlano to share a brief update.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Dr. Peake, could you give me a thumbs up if you can hear me all right? Great, thank you. My name is Lori Furlano. I'm the Deputy Commissioner for Population Health at the Virginia Department of Health. I wanted to first thank all of you for joining us today and giving us an opportunity to share some timely information and exciting information about some new tools. We also want to thank the many people that we represent at VDH. There's been a lot of hard work and long hours that continue to build these tools and enhance these tools to help with the pandemic response, and we're grateful for all of our all the people on our team and their commitment to the pandemic response. We also are grateful to have a great partnership with the Department of Education, and that continued collaboration will definitely help reach success. The building, the tools you'll see are building on the key measures that many of you will already have familiarity with. VDH is excited today to announce the launch of an additional tool and some complementary guidance documents to help describe and understand the COVID-19 pandemic in Virginia. VDH has created this newer dashboard to help users like local and state public health officials, local school officials, better understand the extent of community transmission in a given locality or community. The transmission extent, as you'll soon learn, is derived from a set of metrics and indicators that consider burden of disease and the trends associated with different indicators. It includes things like disease extent and also measures that look at healthcare use or capacity, like visits to emergency rooms or hospital beds. Dr. Peake will elaborate on some of those specifics and important details in a few minutes. The composite picture or the description or the picture that's created when one considers all of this information together with local context is intended to help inform local and state decisions about how to respond to the pandemic. For example, a high level of transmission necessitates increases in case investigation or contact tracing or more testing or more focused testing in certain populations. A high level of transmission may also necessitate a community considering if, when, or what type of community mitigation measures might be needed. Community mitigation is a phrase that we use to describe activities that are actions that people and communities can take to slow the spread of a new virus with pandemic potential, such as the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19. Disease prevention and control, I think you can all appreciate by now, necessitates a combination of individual level and population level or community level interventions. Individuals need to follow recommendations on healthy hygiene practices. We need to stay home when we're sick. We need to practice distancing. We need to use our cloth face coverings or masks, and we need to follow recommendations from public health, like isolation and quarantine recommendations, to lower the risk of disease spread. So those individual actions are appropriate regardless of the extent of mitigation at the community level that may be needed at different times. There may be times when the pace of a pandemic curve or an epidemic curve in a community warrants consideration of additional population level strategies, such as limiting the size of social gatherings or temporarily limiting the occupancy of certain establishments where we know disease to be spreading or contributing to community spread. Those examples are ones that have been implemented in communities when that was needed. The focus of community mitigation is on reducing transmission by reducing the amount of person-to-person transmission, and the ultimate goal is to decrease the burden on our healthcare system while building or enhancing the existing containment capacity we have via testing and tracing capacity. In addition to the data that will be reviewed in a few minutes and the guidance on an approach to considering general community mitigation, you'll see that the tool also has information specific to CDC indicators for K-12 school settings and an accompanying guidance document for that school function. These school-specific products are also intended to help guide decisions, not dictate decisions by local leaders. The community mitigation and the school mitigation guidance documents help users and communities understand how to use the dashboards to help inform what kinds of community mitigation strategies might be considered at different levels of transmission extent. Again, the documents should not be interpreted as dictating measures, but rather as guides to help communities choose from options that will best address the disease spread in their area. There are ways in which we hope communities and leaders use this tool. We hope communities use the tool to understand the data in their locality and also of surrounding counties or localities to help understand the potential risk of introduction and or subsequent transmission in other settings like schools. We hope it's used to monitor trends of healthcare capacity or disease burden. We hope it's used to monitor upward or downward or fluctuating trends of metrics like case incidence or test positivity. Those are metrics you should be familiar with through our other dashboards. We hope the tools and the visuals and the trends and the data are used to have collaborative conversations between public health officials, local leaders, and community members. And we hope that those conversations help inform really complex decisions that communities may sometimes need to make. For example, the decisions related to school programming or large planned events in a given community. The tools can help users ask questions of public health officials to better understand the nuance behind the data, like large outbreaks in workplaces or nursing homes, and how those things may or may not contribute to trends or increased numbers in a given area. We hope it prompts questions and reflections on strategies that have been taken to date and may help identify opportunities for how to evolve a given approach. The dashboard should ideally be used in conjunction with VDH guidance for community mitigation and the VDH guidance for mitigation measures in K-12 settings, and also the CDC guidance that is linked on the webpage. For communities that may have already adopted certain models or thresholds, this dashboard may help you think about whether they want to adapt any of the approaches if that makes sense to them. There are some ways in which the dashboard should not be used. It should not be used to take one indicator alone to make a very complex decision. It should not be used to compare concretely with other localities in absence of more detailed information or local context. And as a reminder, the indicators on the CDC school metrics dashboard that you'll see are intended to be applied at a community level, not at a school facility level itself, with the exception of one measure that's used, which is an assessment of a given school's mitigation strategies. So in summary, we're encouraging communities and local leaders, decision makers, local public health officials to all work together as they have been throughout this lengthy response to consider community mitigation measures depending on the extent of a transmission in a community, also the capacity to implement mitigation strategies, and we've done our best to align our guidance documents in Virginia largely with prior content from Forward Virginia phases and also with the phase guidance for schools, for the school-specific tools, and the newly available CDC school framework. Later this morning, Dr. Peek, again, will share some more specifics about the measures themselves, et cetera. Then right now, I'd like to hand the microphone off to my colleague at the Department of Education, Holly Coy.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Dr. Forlano, for that introduction and explanation of why the Commonwealth is moving in this direction today. As Dr. Forlano said, my name is Holly Coy, and I serve as the Assistant Superintendent for Policy, Equity, and Communications at the Department of Education. And in that role, have had the pleasure of working with the VDH team and the governor's office and local school division leaders in translating that health guidance over to school settings and communicating what the state's guidance is on these matters. So over the last 6 months, the Department of Education, the Department of Health have been working together to provide guidance to school leaders for their considerations based on the latest research and understanding of COVID-19. But as that research and understanding evolves, so has our guidance. And so the publication of the VDH Pandemic Metrics Dashboard and the new CDC Indicators tab today is really the latest way in which we're seeking to support and inform the decisions that school divisions are making. So divisions throughout the Commonwealth have started new instruction for this academic year, and they've done so in a variety of modalities that align with the local health conditions, their community needs, et cetera. But we know that throughout the school year, communities will be closely monitoring local public health conditions and evaluating the instructional options to go along with those conditions. So this public-facing pandemic metrics dashboard and the new CDC indicators tab will provide them timely, accurate, and relevant information as they consider their operations throughout the year. So we remain committed in our recommendations that the decisions to alter K-12 programming, including decisions about in-person instruction, school closures, or hybrid learning, be handled at the most local level possible, with local and health leaders working together to consider regional and local epidemiology, community characteristics, and school capacity to implement mitigation measures that we know are important. Additionally, as Dr. Forlano mentioned, the metrics found in the dashboard have been aligned to the previously issued phase guidance for Virginia schools, which provides considerations for school division leaders, community leaders, to take into account when making those local decisions about when and how to resume in-person instruction. That guidance has and continues to prioritize the needs of students who have been most impacted by school building closures and for whom in-person instruction is most beneficial. And that includes our students with disabilities, English learners, and young students in preschool through third grade. But it simultaneously recognizes the disruption that school building closures have had on all students and seeks to bring them back to the classroom as soon as is safe and practicable as parents and local school divisions are able to do so. So we are grateful for the partnership between health and education leaders at the state and local levels who, as you can tell, are working day in and day out to make informed decisions about school operations, about serving students and staff safely, all under these changing circumstances. With that, I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Peek to share more detailed information about the dashboard and the metrics therein.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to share my screen. Okay, I think you should be able to see my screen now. And so I'm going to be talking about the pandemic metrics dashboard as well as the CDC school guidance and data that they are providing. There are a number of indicators now through these dashboards that are available to help local localities and schools make decisions. These are not, the data that we're showing are not intended to be a true forecast. They really are available to take within the context of the local setting to understand what steps we need to take to reduce transmission of the virus. So we just want to emphasize again that these data should be interpreted in combination with other data, qualitative data, and other information from local and state public health authorities. The district health directors and epidemiologists in their localities can provide more context about what's actually occurring in their districts, and the public health authorities should be included in the review of the pandemic metrics dashboard and the associated decision making. All right. Okay. So I'm going to go through some slides that describe the pandemic metrics dashboard. On this slide, you can see where this is placed on our website. And we have four different tabs about the data: the daily region metrics, the weekly transmission extent, and the CDC school metrics. So I'm going to start with just going through the tab that talks about the data. So what these dashboards do. So first of all, in the VDH pandemic metrics dashboard, there's a daily region metrics tab, and that's going to show you where COVID-19 is spreading in Virginia and how that's changed over time. The weekly transmission extent dashboard takes a lot of different indicators, all those metrics, and combines them in a way that helps inform state and local officials about the effects of COVID-19 on each region, and that can help decide whether to take additional mitigation measures. So we have on this page, under methods, the technical notes, and we also have a set of talking points that make it try to use some plain language to describe this. And then there's also guidance documents, the guidance for reinstating community mitigation measures, and guidance for K-12 schools. So we've also created visualizations to display the CDC school metrics to help communities and school divisions understand the risk of introduction and transmission of COVID-19 in schools. And VDH is recommending that communities and school divisions use those CDC indicators for dynamic school decision-making framework together with the guidance documents when considering actions related to school decision-making. I'm going to talk you through the daily region metrics tab.
Dr. Peek, before you continue, I am having a hard time seeing your slide. Can you try to resume the slideshow to see if that will show your most current one? I apologize. There we go. Thank you very much. It went back to the main one. It went back to the main one, though, when you just did that. It showed there, and then it went back.
Okay.
I will direct everyone while you're doing this. We do have this PowerPoint PDF on the Media Room page. So if you are having a hard time seeing it, you can follow along if you download the PDF from the Media Room page on the VDH website.
Okay. It should be showing again. Can you see it, Marion?
I'm still seeing the slide. Main. Yeah. It says resume slideshow. There's like a box that is open right now.
On mine, it says that I'm sharing the screen. Let's see. But there's only parts of it that that are showing there seems to be some problems with the actual connection.
Okay. So it might be a connection page. So if everyone on the call goes to vdh.virginia.gov/coronavirus and then you go to the media room page, you will be able to download a copy of this, and I'll also send out the link to anyone who could not view it. So if we're just having connection issues, you can continue with it, and I'll send the PowerPoint after.
All right, I'm going to stop sharing and try to share again.
Okay.
Okay, can you see it now?
We can, yep.
Okay, that sounds great.
Thank
you. So I'm going to talk you through the tab that looks at the region metrics. So the first thing that you'll see at the top is a drop-down box to select the region. You'll then see a select date, and you can select day. We actually have historical data in here. We have data that goes back to mid-April. And then you can also select statistics of the graph, which I'll show you. Probably the most important data for you to follow is the statistic called burden, and I'll demonstrate that, but so that people can understand how the burden and trend were calculated, we actually have the raw data. We have information about how we look at the slope, or that helps us understand the trend. So you can look at those different views. We're looking at 8 different region metrics. We're looking at the daily case incidence rate, the daily PCR test percent positivity, the rate of outbreak, the percent of cases that are healthcare workers, the rate of visits to emergency departments for COVID-like illness, the rate of current confirmed COVID ICU hospitalizations, the percent of hospital beds currently occupied, and the number of hospitals that are reporting having difficulty acquiring personal protective equipment in the last 7 days. So we're using both the burden and the trend to have a better, more comprehensive understanding of what's happening. With the burden, we look at 2 different metrics. We're showing the most recent rate, which is updated every day. And then we're also showing you a graph of the 7-day moving average. So burden is a measure of the disease and its impact on the region. So it describes the amount or the quantity. It uses rates to standardize comparison of regions with populations of varying size in Virginia. And we use that moving average to smooth out the variability in daily reporting and to remove weekday effects and weekend effects. So this is really telling you the transmission, what's going on, and you can look at that, the burden of a number of different metrics. For trend, we're actually using text for you to describe whether the trend is increasing, decreasing, or fluctuating, and it's a measure of how each metric has changed over time. We evaluate that change over a 14-day period for all of the metrics except cases and healthcare workers, and for that one, we use a 7-day period. We do not calculate a trend for hospitals acquiring PPE because the unique count is a unique count each day. So we've set thresholds to better understand the transmission. We've set thresholds that are either 3 levels or 2 levels. So there's 3 levels for the daily case incidence, outbreaks, and COVID-like illness visits to emergency departments. And there's 2 levels for the daily PCR test percent positivity, the cases that are among healthcare workers, and then the confirmed COVID ICU hospitalizations, the hospital beds currently occupied, and the hospitals experiencing difficulty acquiring personal protective equipment. So we use national standards or precedents where they were available to set these thresholds. For example, For the daily case incidence thresholds, we adopted those from the early CDC technical guidance that was provided to states for internal use in developing these types of dashboards. For the PCR percent positivity, that was aligned with the governor's goal for PCR percent positivity in Virginia's key measures. When there wasn't a standard or a precedent available, we worked with subject matter experts. So, for example, for the hospital-related metrics, we received guidance from the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association. So here's what the page looks like. As I said, at the top of the page, you select the region, you select the date, and then you select the statistic. On the left-hand side, you'll see the metrics and for burden that describe the burden, and we've developed a question for each of those. So for the first one, cases, we're showing the most recent rate, and it's updated daily. It's 11.1. And the question is, what is the daily case incidence rate per 100,000? And then we show the two thresholds, and then we show the graph of a seven-day moving average. So you can see here by day what the case incidence was, and you can follow that over time, and it begins back in mid-April. And then you can hover over each day to get the full details for the number of cases, the cumulative cases to date, the seven-day moving average, the seven-day rolling sum, the rate per 100,000, and then some of the technical pieces for how we calculate the trend, and then the number of days or the slope has been increasing or decreasing. So it is a little more complicated to understand the trend, so we have actually put that in text. So, for example, in this situation, cases have been decreasing for 12 days. This does not exceed the threshold of 14 days that I talked about, so the cases are considered to be fluctuating. They would need to be increasing for more than 14 days to be considered an increasing trend, or decreasing for more than 14 days to be a decreasing trend. If they're in the middle, it's fluctuating. So this also shows some of the other metrics, the percent positivity, the outbreaks. This is the healthcare workers, so what percent of cases were healthcare workers. This is the what is the visit rate to emergency departments for COVID-like illness. This is the rate of current confirmed COVID ICU hospitalizations. And then we have what percent of hospital beds are currently occupied, and we indicate what the threshold is. We also have how many hospitals have reported trouble acquiring PPE in the last 7 days. Okay, so that's a lot of data. And so the idea behind the weekly transmission extent is to combine that data with it using an algorithm that is where you're able to look at sort of an overall picture. So we calculate composite scores for the burden and trend each week, and that helps us determine the extent of the transmission in each region. So you can see for burden, you can have a minimal, low, moderate, or high score. For trend, it can be decreasing, fluctuating, or increasing. And these are used to develop five or to look at five different possible levels. So the region could be at substantial community transmission, approaching substantial community transmission. It could be at moderate community transmission or approaching moderate community transmission, or it could be at low community transmission. We also provide a map, so there's a visual to see where each region is. We also provide a graph that shows you the transmission extent by week by region. At the bottom of that page, there's a gauge, and that shows you the total score for burden for that week and trend for that week. And that way you can see exactly what the numbers are and how that translates to the information above on that page. To understand how the scores were calculated, you can click on that link at the bottom of the page. So to help you understand how the algorithm works, each of the metrics that we have has an indicator value of 0, 1, or 2. And that's based on low, moderate, or high. And some of them do not have the moderate, so it's low or high. So we take each of the individual metrics. These are all the metrics that I showed you, cases, percent positivity, outbreaks, et cetera. And for that day, we assign what the indicator was, which is at 0 through 2. So each one, each day, that could possibly change. And then we have a fixed weight for each of the indicators. And we use this because to really understand the transmission, these have different levels of importance, if you will, or impact. The case incidence is the most important measure that we have to understand transmission. And so it does have a weight of 6. The other ones have a weight of 1, except for the healthcare workers, which right now we're not actually utilizing in the score because we found that this may be underrepresented, and we're hoping over time that these data will improve and then we'll include that in the score. But we still include the indicator so you can look at it. We also do the same thing for the trend indicator. And so this gives us the total burden score and trend score for the day. We then take the average over the past week to come up with that weekly score. So that's how we calculate the burden and trend composite score and translate that into the weekly scores. Okay, I'm now going to talk about the CDC school metrics tab. So CDC recently released its indicators for dynamic school decision making. This is the first time that indicators with thresholds have been released publicly and by CDC. And so I wanted to explain that the data that we used in the visualization to show you how these metrics look in Virginia it's for the same data that we used for our dashboard. But they are slightly different. They're different metrics, and they look at different time frames and different thresholds for evaluation. There are some key differences between the VDH pandemic dashboard and the CDC school metrics. So we created our dashboard in June, and the local health districts began using the dashboard to understand the level of transmission in July. We used that to help understand the surge in the eastern region so that decisions could be made about how to decrease the transmission. And districts started sharing these data with localities and schools in August. As I said, just recently on September 15th, CDC published the school's indicators for dynamic decision making. So the VDH pandemic metrics dashboard shows a daily case incidence rate and a daily PCR percent positivity. So our thought was that we wanted to have the most real-time data that we could get or was reliable to look at every day to understand what was happening. For the case incidence, we set 3 levels, less than 5 cases per day per 100,000 population, 5 to less than 10, and then greater than or equal to 10. For the percent positivity, we set 2 levels with 1 threshold of greater than or equal to 10%. Now, the CDC dashboard looks at it a little bit differently. They're looking at cumulative case. So they're taking all of the new cases, in the last 14 days, and that's they calculate that as a rate, and they're looking at the same thing, a 14-day cumulative percent positivity. So we're looking at it by day. They're looking at it by 14 days. They've also set 5 levels, and you can see the different levels for case incidence, and they've set 5 levels for the percent positivity. So we had created our dashboard, and we've been using it for some time. So when the new dashboard came out, we created, from CDC, we created the visualization, and we're going to be monitoring the 2 different dashboards over the next 2 weeks to determine whether we want to make any changes to the VDH metrics to more align with the CDC metrics. It may be that looking at it in the 2 different ways provides information for better understanding of what's happening in the region and the local data that's needed. But we want to see if there's any differences that are difficult to understand or really that if the VDH pandemic metrics dashboard could take on some of these new metrics. So we'll be evaluating that over the next 2 weeks. This is what the CDC K through 12 school metrics visualization or dashboard looks like. So at the top, you can select the locality. So these data are available at the locality level. And then you can select the date. It starts out with information describing the levels for the risk of transmission, and it has links to the CDC guidance. So that will help you understand what this guidance is, what the metrics are, and how to interpret it. And then it lists the core indicators. There's 3 core indicators that are listed for each of the localities by day. The first is the total number of new cases per 100,000 persons within the last 14 days. So you see this is going to be a higher number than just looking at, or a higher rate than just looking at 1 day. And then they look at the percent of PCR positive tests during the last 14 days. So that's going to be a larger period of time. And then they also have recommended, as Dr. Folano described, the 5 key mitigation strategies that schools should be assessing. So we don't have at VDH the data that the schools have. They'll be looking at these data to help them make decisions. And then there are secondary indicators. So this is important to understand that these are not core indicators, and they definitely should not be used alone in trying to make decisions. So, for example, they show the percent change in new cases per 100,000 population during this past 7 days compared to the previous 7 days. For a small county, a small number of cases changing could have a really significant impact on the percent, so it's important to understand that. They also look at the percent of hospital beds in the region that are occupied, and they look at the percent of inpatient beds in the region that are occupied by patients with COVID-19. So we've taken that data, and in addition to just to providing each of the metrics, we've also put it in a map, and you can see with the drop-down you can choose which of the indicators you want to map, and that way you can see what's happening across the state. At the bottom of that page, you'll see definitions of the CDC school indicators. And so that describes exactly what is above. So that's what's included in the dashboard. I will stop now, and we can take questions.
Thank you for that update, Dr. Peek. I just want to remind everybody that there is a copy of the PowerPoint dashboard demo that Dr. Peek just presented at vdh.virginia.gov/coronavirus/media room. So please feel free to download it there. Before we begin the question and answer portion of today's call, I'd like to remind you that our call is focused on the new pandemic dashboard. For questions regarding other topics, or if our subject matter expert is unable to answer your question today, please email them to the Virginia Joint Information Center at COVID-19JIC@vdem.virginia.gov. Please remember to limit your inquiries to 1 question and 1 follow-up per person to allow time for everyone. Now we'll begin the question and answer portion of today's call. Thank you.
Thank you. To ask a question, please press star followed by one. Please ensure that your phone is unmuted and record your name clearly when prompted. And to withdraw your request, please press star two. First question comes from Luann Rice. Your line is now open.
Oh, hi, Dr. Pate. On the pandemic dashboard, it's just by region. Is there any movement toward doing it more narrowly toward health districts or localities so that people could get a better understanding of trends locally and how outbreaks might affect what's going on?
Hi, Luann. It's nice to hear from you. Yes, we do have data by locality. What we are looking at now is in the next 2 weeks as we compare the VDH pandemic dashboard to the new CDC school dashboard, we want to make sure that we have the levels, the time frame, and those thresholds set in a way that best describes what's going on. So we want to compare the two. And after that period, we will be putting out the trends for either the CDC metrics at the locality level or some, either what we have now at the region level, or it could be tweaked a little bit so that you will be able to see those trends by locality level.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next question comes from Kate Masters. Your line is now open.
Yeah, thank you. A couple of questions. I saw on the PowerPoint that this pandemic metric dashboard was created in June. So I was wondering, you know, why it was, being released now in September. And then I also wanted to know whether VDH plans on releasing a more detailed case count of where cases in schools are occurring, you know, in preschools versus K through 12 versus universities, in addition to these new metrics.
Sure. Hi, Kate. So for your second question, if you look now today at our daily dashboard for the outbreaks tab, you will see that education settings has now been broken down by K through 12, colleges and universities, and childcare. There's a definition of those at the bottom of that page. And so you will be able to see for local health districts the number of cases. For your first question, so we're releasing this now because CDC has released public-facing information with thresholds, and we have been sharing these data with the local health districts, and they've been working with their local governments to understand these data and to help them in decision-making. So these are more technical dashboards. It's interesting, you know, we want to put it out there because the CDC thresholds now are public-facing, and we want people to be able to understand what's going on in Virginia. And we think that the work that we've done, so I think the CDC data are really helpful because they've got the thresholds and people can see that now and they can relate it back to the guidance. What we have in the pandemic dashboards that adds to that, though, is the aggregating all of the data into composite scores, and that helps you see a more clear picture. So we definitely wanted to take time to work through these very technical dashboards with local health departments and localities to ensure that they were good tools and that they're reflecting what's going on in the community. And to develop a new complicated technical tool, it takes time to work with it and to get feedback from local governments and localities.
Great. And one follow-up, I was wondering, the concept of threshold, I was wondering if there's any concern that there might be some subjectivity in that measure. Like I know, for example, the governor has set a threshold of 10,000 daily tests, but some health experts have told me they believe that might be too low to really you know, mitigate the spread. So I was wondering if you could kind of delve into that concept further, you know, and whether there is a concern of, you know, subjectivity in that measure.
Yeah, so, you know, every individual metric that we look at has some advantages, and it also has some limitations. And so it's really important not to just look at, can you hear me? It's important to not look at just one metric, and so that's why we're providing a variety of metrics. I think that it's what this tool tries to do is to pull some of that information together so you have more of a comprehensive picture. There's just not one metric that's going to be perfect that describes what's going on. We really need to look at a number of different metrics. And as I said, they all have strengths. They all have limitations.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next question comes from Ashley Bowles. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, Dr. Peek. I also have a two-part question. So I wanted to ask first if we can expect updates for this every day, similar to the normal V8 staff board around the same time?
Yes, this will be updated daily.
Okay. And then also, you had mentioned the October 14th date, and just scrolling through the website, I see that's mentioned again as far as a trial period as to, you know, does this work, does this not work? You might not even know the answer to this right now, but what would change or what are you really looking at that, you know, may cause some problems or anything of that nature?
So what we're looking at is the thresholds are a little bit different between what CDC came up with in this publication and what was being used early on when we created our pandemic dashboard. So, you know, the virus continues to evolve, the situation evolves, you know, every day we're getting new information and trying to use it in a way that is most beneficial. So it is possible what we want to look at is what's happening. If you look at the locality metrics from the CDC dashboard, how is that rolling up to really represent the region? And are there thresholds, better indicators of what's going on? Is it more useful to look at 14 days versus one day? There's definitely pros and cons of doing it both ways. But we also understand that when people can have consistency across the dashboards with the same metrics, it makes it easier to understand. So we want to look at, compare the two, and we could potentially tweak some of the region metrics, either time frame or thresholds, if we feel like the CDC new metrics and thresholds better represent what's happening. But we also may decide that, you know, they really are rolling up still. What we're looking at with the way that we set it up for the region metrics is a good representation of what's happening, and using the two together give you a better picture. If that's the case, then we will look at the CDC metrics and provide some trend data for that at the locality level. We do think it's important to be able to have that trend data. We're looking at the data over time to see how it's changed at the locality level.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next question comes from Catherine Knott. Your line is now open.
Hey, good morning to everyone. I was just wondering, I know you said that there's not one perfect metric, but what advice would you have for local leaders as they're looking at the CDC metrics and maybe one indicator is at the highest risk of transmission, where another indicator is at the lowest risk of transmission? And how should they weigh that?
So that's why it's important for them to work with their local health department to understand the data. There could be something occurring in that locality that's really skewing the numbers. So, for example, let's look at the percent positive tests. If a lot of the tests in a certain day in a small locality are done, say, using a point prevalence survey at a large, like at a prison or at a in a large setting, that could skew the numbers. Or if there's a really large testing event and a lot of people who have asymptomatic spread are very low risk of really being infected with COVID-19 or tested, that could also skew the numbers. So it's important for the school officials to work hand in hand with the local health departments to understand what the data are showing them and interpret it in the best way that they can.
Thank you.
Welcome.
No further questions on the phone at this time.
I want to thank everyone again for joining our call today. I do want to remind you the copy of the dashboard demo that Dr. Peek presented is posted online. There will be a copy and transcript of the call posted on the VDH website located on the COVID-19 webpage under the Media Room tab. Once again, if we were unable to answer your questions today, please email them to the Virginia Joint Information Center at COVID-19JIC at vdem.virginia.gov. Thank you.